Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We were kind of talking about this on air and some off air that supposedly when they enter a game after a bye, the offense is tailored for Dwayne Haskins so that he's comfortable.
I heard Callahan talk about that specifically, that they wanted him to be comfortable, and if it meant fewer plays, fine. They just wanted him to be comfortable. And then, you know, reading what you wrote, and I guess they pared it down even more.
Yeah, I mean, that's any quarterback gets the offense kind of designed like they want it. This used to happen with Case. Kevin's talked about this all the time because the meeting that they do this in was kind of right after his press conference with us on Fridays every week. So he's like, yeah, I'm about to go meet with insert quarterback here and pare down the playbook and kind of figure out what they liked in practice this week, what they feel comfortable with, and we'll go from there. And so there was a series of plays that Dwayne felt comfortable with, and it's probably not as wide of a series as what Case or Colt would pick because they just have seen more stuff and are more comfortable with more stuff at this point in their careers. Dwayne wasn't clearly as comfortable as he said he was with some of these plays based off his comments and based off his performance. He was bad yesterday, guys. Like, we can talk about the comfort stuff, and I'm already kind of mad at myself for the way I wrote the column a little bit because I started to go back and watch some of this last night. And, you know, we've talked about this before. Sometimes the worst place to be to watch the actual football is the press box because it's hard to see replays. It's hard to see whatever. And sometimes you just see more on TV. And there's some stuff last night where it's like, we gave you the simple stuff. We gave you the easy stuff, and you missed it. You threw to the wrong place. You threw to the wrong guy, and that kind of stuff. Like it gets back to some of the stuff that was criticism of him earlier in the year, which is, you know, if you can't execute the basic stuff, then there's only so much we can do. If you can't execute day one install stuff, there's only so much we can do to help. Now, he didn't get any help from anybody yesterday. The whole team played like. Their performance yesterday is why you need swearing, which makes it hard to describe on the radio. Like, it was just terrible. And so I'm not saying this is all on him by any means, but if we isolate his performance yesterday, it was really poor.
Real, I gave him a C-, so you sound like it's worse than that. I thought he stepped up in the pocket, made a few plays. Obviously, the play that was called back to McLaurin was a really nice play. Mm-hmm. I thought the two-point conversion to Trey Quinn was another nice play, avoided some pressure. He gave McLaurin another 50-50 ball there. It wasn't the greatest throw in the world, but at least he let him make a play. I don't know. I thought it was a C-. I mean, there was a lot of drops.
That's fair.
Some bad snaps.
I don't think that's far off. I think what's frustrating, like, I guess in a way yesterday was kind of what we asked for, though, if you want to frame it that way, because we did ask for some flashes, and we got flashes.
I thought so.
The play to McLaurin that gets called back is a 10 guys on planet Earth can make that throw kind of throw. That was nuts. I have never seen a throw like that in person, and to see it was pretty jaw-dropping. The throw to Terry down the sideline later in the game is a big-time throw. He hits Harmon on a third down where he gets wrecked.
Yeah.
And that was a big-time throw. So there were some really, really high-level positives yesterday. But I think the frustrating part, and the reason I would say overall it's poor, is you have to be able to operate consistently. And, you know, C- might be the right grade. And it's a D performance elevated by a few spectacular plays. But the overall consistency, for instance, the interception of Quinn, which has now been just hand wrung to hell because there seems to be an incapability by a lot of people to understand that there can be two guys who do things wrong on a single play. Trey is wrong because he sits down, gives quarterback his eyes, saying, hey, I'm open, throw it, and then moves. Mm-hmm. Dwayne should have never been looking there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad decision. It's a squeeze read is what they call it, And so if the Will linebacker, so the linebacker winds up picking it off, comes down onto that receiver, you throw to the back and flat. If you go back and watch that replay, and I will put this out once I have the All-22 access, you can see it on the broadcast copy, but it's going to be even more just glaring on the All-22. Geis is wide open in the flat, and he's one-on-one with the corner. He's got about 7-8 yards to pick up ahead of steam. That's the throw. And it's not me speculating. I know that's the throw. I know this concept. So it's cover two by the Jets. He makes the wrong read. And it could not be simpler. It's one guy he's got to read. He decides that, all right, I'm going to read this side of the field. Boom. That guy squeezes down on his intended target. Immediately you throw to the flat and you let your guy make a play. And so if he can't do that kind of simple stuff, when they get those are the kinds of like, hey, make it simple. Don't make me decide if a guy's open. You're not. You're reading one guy. It's a PPO, if you want to call it that. It's a pass option. I'm passing here or I'm passing there, and it's based off of one dude. And if you can't do that stuff in the NFL, you're not going to be able to be very successful, and you're not going to be able to overcome it with splash plays. And so while, yeah, he did show some flashes of extreme talent and show some things that I really like. And frankly, I love the fact that he stuck with it. I like the fact that in the fourth quarter, he did some stuff. Like, I'm not saying it's discouraging from a long-term standpoint, but man, there's some stuff yesterday that's concerning.
All right, what was going on there when he was talking to the offensive line? We all have seen the viral video. It didn't seem like it was received particularly well. I'm not sure what the guys responded at all. They look kind of surprised by the whole thing. What was Dwayne sort of thinking there?
Yeah, I mean, he just wanted to know what he could do. And I think interactions like that kind of happen a lot on NFL sidelines, you know, where one guy's yelling, everyone else is kind of like, okay, this is, you know, they're kind of more in a different state of mind and they're not going to all of a sudden go meet that. But I think, you know, what I took that as, and this is kind of at large what I wrote about, is him taking more ownership of this. And that's what I think he meant by when he said, you know, I was trying to tell them to give me the plays that I was more comfortable with. I'm trying to tell the offensive line what I need or what can I do to help you? And, you know, the irony is it's pretty easy to see some of the answers to that stuff. You know, what can you do to help your offensive line? Quit running from clean pockets. That creates pressure. Some of Dwayne's sacks yesterday were created because Dwayne ran out of a clean pocket. And your offensive line protects thinking you're going to be in a certain place. And when you leave that place, it makes them look bad. So there's things like that where there's direct answers. But I think he's saying at large, like, how do we communicate better? How do we make this process cleaner? And these are questions they need to answer. They need to figure out how they can be on the same page more often, and if the offensive line can help Dwayne figure out some blitzes and figure out some fronts and figure out where things are coming from, you know, a more veteran center, I think, would be helpful to this team. By the way, Chase Roullier, if he'd snap the ball cleaner yesterday, would have been extremely helpful. 4, 5, 6 low snaps in that game, and a couple of them on big third downs that didn't give Dwayne a chance. And if you're a young quarterback who's already having trouble reading a defense and need every millisecond you can get and to not have to move your eyes at the very point where you're starting your progression because you have to go find the ball, that's helpful too.
Why was he so bad snapping those? I mean, you think he's the first time he's ever played center.
It was, I don't know. It was awful. It was awful. So, you know, in terms of that clip, I don't know exactly what sparked it. You know, we heard Dwayne's answer after the game of kind of what I just said. And, you know, as I wrote, and it's kind of in summary of my article, or the conclusion of my article, either that's a seminal moment for him or it is just another meaningless thing in a lost season that happened to be caught on video.
We're joined by Craig Hoffman, covers the Redskins for 106.7 The Fan. He's brought to you by Dell EMC and TVAR Solutions, transforming the federal data center. Here's a question I need answered. How does Terry McLaurin have the same number of targets as Trey Quinn and Steven Sims Jr., and he has 2 targets less than Calvin Harmon? How does that happen?
They roll coverage over there a lot, but it shouldn't happen. Yesterday they were playing pretty straight cover 2, from what I understand. Talked to some folks after the game. So Dwayne's got to look at him, and I'll have more answers when I come on with you guys later this week. Like, ask me the same question sometime after
Wednesday.
Wednesday. If we do Thursday or Friday, ask me again, and we'll come back to this because I'll have been able to watch the tape.
Yeah, because my answer was, just being a dumb fan, is he's not looking at him all the time.
Yeah, because he wins all the time.
Yeah, he just can look more in his direction.
He's so good. Yeah. And you know. I saw a couple people saying, like, oh, why is he celebrating when he makes the catches down late? Those weren't celebrations. Those were frustration. Bleep this. I've been there all game. Yeah. Why haven't you been looking at me? I've been telling you all game, get me the ball. And Terry's never going to be like Randy Moss, you know, Terrell Owens, demonstrative in that way. But, like, behind the scenes, he's every bit as, you know, diva-ish in terms of wanting the ball as those guys, which is a positive trait. He's just never going to throw anybody under the bus and express it in the ways that have gotten so many receivers in trouble in the past. He's too good of a teammate and too smart for that. But Terry's a smart football player. He knows when he's going to be open. He knows how to beat coverage. And so, you know, especially in if it's straight cover two, like, you got a lot of route concepts that are on the same, you know, you can design it up that Terry's going to be the guy who's involved in the progression. Because either you have a cover one beater on one side and a cover two beater on the other, or you typically mirror routes. And so you just pick the side that you like. Pick Terry's side more often. And this is something, again, I got to see on tape to exactly understand why they shied away from him a lot. But I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of, like, what they call honey hole shots, like 15, 20 yards down the field on the sideline, which is one of the weak points in cover two. It's a tough throw, but Dwayne was drafted to make those throws because he's got the arm to do it. Tight windows, but they're there. And I have a feeling Terry McLaurin's going to be open a lot in those windows, and Dwayne's going to have not thrown it.
What about Darius Geis yesterday? He came here, he runs hard. He runs with a style that says, man, he's going to get hurt again because he just runs so hard and he doesn't give up. And, you know, he's a small guy. I thought he made some decent plays. You know, obviously the screen pass, that was all on him. That was great. But he runs hard.
I hate that I agree with you just because I don't want to see Darius get hurt. Yeah. Like, but that it's I think about it all the time. And I remember when Darius and I sat down in Richmond and I was editing that interview for YouTube, and I needed a couple what we call B-roll. You know, you need some video to kind of put over certain parts of it. And that way you're not just staring at our ugly mugs the entire time. And so I went back to his college highlights and was watching some of that. And, man, like watching him at LSU, the way he ran through people, I was like, I can't wait for this kid to get up. I was so excited to watch him play football. And yesterday was the first time we, like, really got to see what he is about in the NFL. Running through people. There's that play on the sideline where he runs into, like, four guys, and it's a monster collision, and he somehow falls forward for another two and a half yards.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just blown away by the power. But he's also got speed. Like, he doesn't look like he's motoring, but then you get him out on the screen pass and you realize he's running by everyone. So he's really good, man. And the fact that he didn't play in the first quarter is, like, mind-blowingly infuriating to me. That's like mismanagement. The amount Wendell Smallwood's out there when you have Geis is, I don't get it. Just put him out there. He's the
maybe they're trying to protect him, like you say. Ease him into
it. He's on a snap count, but we were told he wasn't. And so if that changed, then so be it. And, you know, some of the series where he's in on first and second, if you want to pull him out for third for Smallwood, fine. But, like, the fact that he didn't play in the first quarter is wild. And he's clearly a huge part of their future if they can somehow keep him healthy, because that kid's really, really talented.
Flipping it over to the defense real quick, Seehoff, I couldn't believe how wide open some of the – like Ryan Griffin, that one play where he was wide open. I don't understand how they're losing guys.
It's been happening for a decade.
And they've got veterans, a couple of veterans back there. I mean, Josh Norman's mistake on the blown coverage in the end zone on Anderson.
Yeah, I don't know whether that one was Norman or Moreau.
Right, maybe not.
But the other thing is, too, on the other touchdown – well, Josh jumps the underneath route, and so I don't know whether he's allowed to do that slash supposed to do that, and Moreau's supposed to switch that, or whether Josh, like, if you watch that play again, watch Quentin Dunbar's reaction, who's the other corner. Quentin loses his mind, and I don't know whether it was at Josh or Fabian, but
maybe
it's
clearly
one of
them. Maybe you can find that out today or tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I'm on the hunt for that answer.
How about both of those guys, Moreau and Norman, suck?
Look, you know, I think early in the year when Josh was getting criticized, he was playing really well and had some unfortunate miscommunication stuff with some other people. Josh has not been good at the second half of the season. I'm not going to argue with you. When those two get together, terrible things happen all the time.
Yeah.
And so, like, the other touchdown that they give up the sideline, where it's a pick play,
right.
Again, it's Moreau and Norman involved in a combo coverage, and they screw it up. And I tend to think that Fabian is more – like, Fabian Moreau is really, really a poor NFL player. Again, there's no shame in being a bad NFL football player. He's still one of the best 2,000 football players on earth. That's really cool. That means you did well in your given profession. You got drafted. You're playing. Cool. He's bad. And I think he also is a poor communicator. He's involved in screw-ups all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's typically on the inside guy. And that's not me protecting Josh. It just is because calls go inside out. And so it's typically on the inside guy to get something outside. And so it's pretty clear too. His route awareness is really bad when he doesn't understand what concepts are coming at him, and that causes them problems. And the other guy that's been in that spot this year, Jimmy Moreland, has had the same issue.
I think Moreland blew the coverage on Griffin when he was wide open.
One of the plays. Yeah. So it's just, you know, these guys have got to have a better understanding of what's coming at them. And that allows good defense. Like, when you're going to be a zone team, you have to understand what the other team is trying to do for you or do to you. You know, when it's man-to-man, you can lock up and you're just playing. You're out there. It's backyard football in a lot of ways. When you're playing zone coverage, you have to understand conceptually what the offense is trying to do. And the great ones can jump routes. And this is what made Josh great in Carolina. It's what's made so many other, you know, players great over the years. If they understand the concept, you can bait a quarterback into stuff. You can be on top of receivers. You can just flat out shut a guy down. But, I mean, they on schedule were bad yesterday, and then off schedule was a disaster. That's where Darnold got him the most, and that's where Griffin's running all over the place is, you know, they'd be in zone coverage, just eyes on the quarterback. And it's like, yeah, your eyes are on the quarterback, but it's like when you're playing, you know, basketball defense, you got to have U-man ball. Like, you can't forget about the ball part, and you can't forget about the man part, and you can't just go – everybody can't go run at the ball, otherwise you're going to give up a wide-open layup. And that's essentially what they did, where he – you know, you got tight ends slipping through guys where you're just like, is no one paying attention to that guy? No one is going to play.
You wonder what they're doing in
and
practice.
And Darnold will just, you know, loft it over the top.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.